Chapter 30, The Law and the Gospel.
This article appeared in the Signs of the Times, March 14, 1878. When the Jews rejected Christ, they rejected the foundation of their faith. And, on the other hand, the Christian world of today who claim faith in Christ but reject the law of God are making a mistake similar to that of the deceived Jews. Those who profess to cling to Christ, centering their hopes on Him, while they pour contempt upon the moral law and the prophecies, are in no safer position than were the unbelieving Jews. They cannot understandingly call sinners to repentance, for they are unable to properly explain what they are to repent of. The sinner, upon being exhorted to forsake his sins, has a right to ask, what is sin? Those who respect the law of God can answer, sin is the transgression of the law. In confirmation of this, the Apostle Paul says, I had not known sin but by the law. Those only who acknowledge the binding claim of the moral law can explain the nature of the atonement. Christ came to mediate between God and man, to make man one with God by bringing him into allegiance to his law. There was no power in the law to pardon its transgressor. Jesus alone could pay the sinner's debt. But the fact that Jesus has paid the indebtedness of the repentant sinner does not give him license to continue in transgression of the law of God, but he must henceforth live in obedience to that law. The law of God existed before the creation of man, or else Adam could not have sinned. After the transgression of Adam, the principles of the law were not changed, but were definitely arranged and expressed to meet man in his fallen condition. Christ, in counsel with his Father, instituted the system of sacrificial offerings, that death, instead of being immediately visited upon the transgressor, should be transferred to a victim which should prefigure the great and perfect offering of the Son of God. The sins of the people were transferred in figure to the officiating priest, who was a mediator for the people. The priest could not himself become an offering for sin and make an atonement with his life, for he was also a sinner. Therefore, instead of suffering death himself, he killed a lamb without blemish. The penalty of sin was transferred to the innocent beast, which thus became his immediate substitute and typified the perfect offering of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of this victim, man looked forward by faith to the blood of Christ, which would atone for the sins of the world. Purpose of the ceremonial law. If Adam had not transgressed the law of God, the ceremonial law would never have been instituted. The gospel of good news was first given to Adam in the declaration made to him that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, and it was handed down through successive generations to Noah, Abraham, and Moses. The knowledge of God's law and the plan of salvation were imparted to Adam and Eve by Christ himself. They carefully treasured the important lesson and transmitted it by word of mouth to their children and children's children. Thus, the knowledge of God's law was preserved. Men lived nearly 1,000 years in those days, and angels visited them with instruction directly from Christ. The worship of God through sacrificial offerings was established, and those who feared God acknowledged their sins before Him and looked forward with gratitude and holy trust to the coming of the day star, which should guide the fallen sons of Adam to heaven through repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thus, the gospel was preached in every sacrifice, and the works of the believers continually revealed their faith in a coming Savior. Jesus said to the Jews, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? John 5, 46 and 47. It was impossible, however, for Adam, by his example and precepts, to stay the tide of woe which his transgression had brought upon men. Unbelief crept into the hearts of men. The children of Adam present the earliest example of the two different courses pursued by men with regard to the claims of God. Abel saw Christ figured in the sacrificial offerings. Cain was an unbeliever in regard to the necessity of sacrifices. He refused to discern that Christ was typified by the slain lamb. The blood of beasts appeared to him without virtue. The gospel was preached to Cain as well as to his brother, but it was to him a savor of death unto death, because he would not recognize in the blood of the sacrificial lamb Jesus Christ, the only provision made for man's salvation. Our Savior, in his life and death, fulfilled all the prophecies pointing to himself and was the substance of all the types and shadows signified. He kept the moral law and exalted it by answering its claims as man's representative. Those of Israel who turned to the Lord and accepted Christ as the reality shadowed forth by the typical sacrifices discerned the end of that which was to be abolished. The obscurity covering the Jewish system as a veil was to them as the veil which covered the glory upon the face of Moses. The glory upon the face of Moses was the reflection of that light which Christ came into the world to bring for the benefit of man. While Moses was shut in the mount with God, the plan of salvation, dating from the fall of Adam, was revealed to him in a most forcible manner. He then knew that the very angel who was conducting the travels of the children of Israel was to be revealed in the flesh. God's dear Son, who was one with the Father, was to make all men one with God, who would believe on and trust in him. Moses saw the true significance of the sacrificial offerings. Christ taught the gospel plan to Moses, and the glory of the gospel through Christ illuminated the countenance of Moses so that the people could not look upon it. Moses himself was unconscious of the beaming glory reflected upon his face, and he knew not why the children of Israel fled from him when he approached them. He called them to him, but they dared not look upon that glorified face. When Moses learned that the people could not look upon his face because of its glory, he covered it with a veil. The glory upon the face of Moses was exceedingly painful to the children of Israel because of their transgression of God's holy law. This is an illustration of the feelings of those who violate the law of God. They desire to remove from its penetrating light, which is a terror to the transgressor, while it seems holy, just, and good to the loyal. Those only who have a just regard for the law of God can rightly estimate the atonement of Christ, which was made necessary by the violation of the Father's law. Those who cherish the view that there was no Savior in the old dispensation have as dark a veil over their understanding as did the Jews who rejected Christ. The Jews acknowledged their faith in a Messiah to come in the offering of sacrifices which typified Christ. Yet, when Jesus appeared, fulfilling all the prophecies regarding the promised Messiah, and doing works that marked him as the divine Son of God, they rejected him and refused to accept the plainest evidence of his true character. The Christian Church, on the other hand, who profess the utmost faith in Christ, in despising the Jewish system, virtually deny Christ, who was the originator of the entire Jewish economy.